This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
I wouldn't kill to win a war. I don't get what they do it for.
This is The Killing Type. New music from Lexington-based rock and roller Amanda Palmer off her new album, Theater is Evil. Palmer released the much-anticipated CD this week after her wildly successful fundraising campaign. She raised $1.2 million from her fans through the crowdfunding website Kickstarter. But her album tour, which kicked off this week, has ignited a major controversy and debate. Palmer invited local horn and string musicians from the cities she's playing in to join her band on stage. She's offering them beer, hugs, and high fives, but some musicians and musician unions have reacted angrily, flooding Twitter and the web with calls to pay those musicians. Daniel Brockman, music writer for the Boston Phoenix, has been following the controversy. And Daniel, thanks for coming in.
Sure, no problem.
So are you surprised by how furious the reaction has been to this?
Yes and no. She's always been a very polarizing figure.
Yeah.
You know, whether in the local music world or in the greater world in general. But I kind of suspect that in this instance, I don't know if she would have anticipated this particular uproar or if it's necessarily good for her, even as a controversial figure.
Well, let's talk about that. A lot of the anger seems to stem from how much money Amanda Palmer raised for this album and the perception that she should be able to pay these musicians or not. Kickstarter, in one sense, helped her. She raised $1.2 million. But in terms of the press she's getting now, is it hurting her?
My initial thought is that we are well aware of the figures, that she raised $1.2 million from Kickstarter and that it was this enormous success, and that were she to pay these musicians that she's soliciting free help from, it would cost $35,000. The reason I know these figures is because she put those figures out in various things. So it was a publicity point of how much she raised, and it was kind of a publicity point for how much the exorbitant amount it would have cost were she to pay these. The problem is, by advertising that, most people put the numbers together and go, hey, that $35,000, she should be able to afford that. The way I see it is kind of in years past when bands did archaic things like sign record label deals and get advances, occasionally it would slip, oh, you know, they got $1 million, they got $2 million. And then everyone thinks that band is rich when we know they're not rich. Like, even her $1.2 million is all already assigned to various expenses. So it's probably on her end, it's true that she didn't have that just to spare.
Sure.
But the perception is there. And I don't know, is there bad press? You know, she's getting a lot of attention, so it's hard to say it's bad press. But the uproar, I think, is largely rooted in the transparency she's put in her own accounting. And maybe I don't think transparency is necessarily a good thing for rock music. We don't want to know how much they net. We just want to see the show.
Right. It sort of takes the mystery away.
Yeah.
Sort of lifts the veil on the mystery of their magic.
Right.
She also argues that local musicians who agree to play with her on stage as she tours, I mean, she's enormously popular. She's got hundreds of thousands of followers on Twitter. So presumably many of these musicians are fans and they're happy for a chance to jump up on stage and play with her.
Sure. I mean, frankly, if you were to take this as a case study and remove her and remove the fact maybe that she's female or what kind of music she plays, probably no one would care. If I don't know, if insert your favorite rock band here asked, hey, you want to jam with us on stage? And by the way, we're not going to pay you. Most people wouldn't care at all. I think a lot of it stems from, A, her personality and her kind of oversharing nature, which is kind of her selling point to her fans. Most people who are fans of Amanda Palmer like her because they feel an intimacy with her because she shares everything. So she was going to share things like how much she made from this and how much it would cost. And hey, guys, if you could just pitch in. I think part of it, too, is there's a conflict between the world of classical music and music unions. Mm. That's not where she's coming from. She's coming from performance art on the street.
Sure.
And so asking for money is not a problem for her, and she doesn't see it as a point of shame.
Well, to some extent, this controversy has detracted from the music, from the album itself. So let's listen to something off the new album. This is her track, Want It Back. Let's listen.
That's all of your lily living together in the hidden cost. You're a sucker and you win it. Doesn't matter if you want it back. You've given it away. You've given it away.
So, Daniel, what's your take on the music itself, on the album itself?
The irony, I think, or the odd thing about this record is that one would think that if a major artist releases a work not through a label but only catering to a fan base, then you would think that work would be very strange. There's a lot of bands, I don't know, Radiohead when they did In Rainbows, or Nine Inch Nails, they put out an instrumental album. These were records that were really bizarre and probably weren't going to cut it from a mainstream perspective. This record is actually, mainstream is not the right word, but it's very polished.
The songs
are catchy. If you had listened to Amanda Palmer or the Dresden Dolls over the years and thought, I'm not into this, it's piano, drowsy kind of ballads, this isn't that, and instead it's her really focusing on this kind of very driving and very like early 80s feel. There's a lot of like, you know, the Motels and Missing Persons going on here. And so that's why it seems odd. You would think that this record would kind of sell itself.
Right,
really.
Be a little edgier maybe.
Yeah.
Well, bottom line, Daniel, she may have provoked this controversy with Kickstarter and asking people to play for free, but given how tough it is for musicians to make money off of CDs these days, creating buzz around their concerts is probably a good thing for them. I mean, the idea here, any publicity is probably good publicity.
The one thing I'm not noticing in any articles or discussions going on about this is any discussion of the record itself. So it's not going to affect her in the slightest because she has an enormous fan base. Obviously, they are into what she does because they have supported her to the tune of $1.2 million. I guess my thought on hearing this is a record that could potentially open an artist like her up to a much wider audience. But I think that the way she's done it might kind of circle the wagons around her tighter fan base, where the people who like her will hear it and go, great, you know, we either paid for it or whatever. Everyone else might hear this uproar, and it might not draw them in to bother listening to the music. They might feel like, I get it, this is this weird storm I don't really want to get involved in. So it really remains to be seen.
That's Daniel Brockman, music writer for the Boston Phoenix, talking about Lexington-based Amanda Palmer's new CD, Theater is Evil. Thanks for coming in, Dan.
Thank you.
And you can read a rebuttal from Amanda Palmer to her critics, and you can let us know what you think about all of this on our website, radioboston.org.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. Have a great weekend, everybody. I'm off next week, but you will be in Anthony Brooks' capable hands. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
Have a great time, Meghna. I'm Anthony Brooks, and everyone have a great weekend. Join me and Sasha Pfeiffer again on Monday for more Radio Boston.